Hi everyone, welcome to Positive Altitude. I'm Munching.
And I'm Sylvie.
So this is the first proper episode of our podcast. If you don't know who we are, please go and look up and listen to our introductory episode and you will know more about us, where we are from and why we decided to start this podcast.
And you might be hearing some ambient airport announcements right now, and that's because we're here today at Changi Airport waiting for our flight.
Yeah, waiting to go home. So, but anyways, really helps us set the stage for our topic today, because today we are going to talk about the most important six letters in aviation this year, and they are CORSIA, or CORSIA, which stands for Carbon Offset and Reduction Scheme for International Aviation.
And for those of you who might not be too familiar with CORSIA, let's go back into a bit of a history. In 2015, I'm sure some of you might have known, there was the Paris Agreement. And for those of you who don't, this is when countries of the UN signed up to the agreement to limit global temperature rise to below 2 degrees Celsius. And they have committed to delivering emissions reductions within their own countries, so their own borders. And these are called the Nationally Determined Contributions, or NDCs for short.
Yeah, but, you know, the numbers keep, you know, sort of fluctuating between 1.5 and 2 degrees. But 2 degrees is basically Paris Agreement's commitment of below 2 degrees. So the goal now is really to try to aim for 1.5 degrees. So these are the numbers that you will hear a lot in the media. So, well, you know, how do countries actually deliver this? And there are different ways. All countries are now kind of going through, you know, this discussion of how are we going to get there. And it may eventually be through things like carbon taxes or emissions trading schemes. This is already happening in Europe, but it's very new in our part of the world, obviously, because we haven't got taxes in most of the countries, except maybe Singapore. Other than Singapore, possibly Japan and Korea, but in Southeast Asia, we basically have not actually have to deal with it yet.
Yeah, and this leaves us the question of what do we do with the residual emissions of international flights?
Yeah, because they are not kind of domestic, so domestic flights fall in within the NDC. So international flights then became the question that was passed to the International Civil Aviation Organization, or ICAO for short. So this is a UN body that governs international aviation, and they in turn designed a scheme which they called CORSIA. And so this is basically what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, so CORSIA has two major phases. Between 2021 and 2026, that is when it goes into its voluntary phase for countries that have signed up. And once they have signed up, all the airlines registered in those countries will have to meet these CORSIA targets and requirements. And after that, it moves into its second phase in 2027 onwards, which is the mandatory phase. And this is when all countries and all airlines registered in these countries have to join CORSIA. So if you sign up early, you know, you are, you know, doing your proactiveness in offsetting. And at the end of the day, eventually, most countries will have to join CORSIA at the end.
Yeah. So, but, you know, in for all intents and purposes for AirAsia, we actually have been part of CORSIA already from 2021 onwards, because we have four countries, we are registered in four countries effectively. So it's Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand and Philippines. So these four countries have all signed up to CORSIA from 2021 onwards. And what does it mean for us, or what has it meant for us so far? So since actually 2019, AirAsia has already started reporting our emissions. So there was really very new for us at the time, because we had to actually calculate what were our emissions, then had it audited as well. So it's called verification. The process is a verification process. And the resulting report were then sent over to the civil aviation regulators, who then sent it over to ICAO, who did the job of calculating the global total emissions. So that was what they used to set a baseline.
So what that means for airlines is that airlines that are subject to the scheme will have to reduce or offset any emissions that is above a predetermined baseline. And the baseline that applies this year onwards is 85% of 2019 emission levels. And, you know, there's so much more you can go into why 85%, you might think, but that's for another day.
Yeah, it can get pretty technical. So, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we first started measuring for 2019. So that is basically like the most important year. Everything is kind of measured against this year. Also, you know, of course, everybody knows now that we lived through COVID. So COVID kind of threw the scheme into a little bit of disarray. But, you know, it's sort of on track now. In fact, it has been effective since 2021. So from 2021 onwards, the emissions baseline already applied. But it's just that because the industry took a big hit during COVID, so we didn't actually have to offset anything. So there wasn't that much discussion in the media. But this year, the baseline is set at, I think Suvi just mentioned, 85% of 2019 levels. So it is below 2019. And so that sets up a very interesting scenario for airlines that are part of the scheme.
Yeah, so we're actually in a really exciting and, you know, very fast developing stage in aviation right now. And for CORSIA and for net zero, in fact, there's actually only about 4 ways in which we can achieve net zero for aviation industry. But today we'll only address 2 of those so that we don't confuse you. The other 2 we can save for another day.
Yeah. I can get technical, but generally airlines can do 2 things, one of 2 things. And first is to use aviation biofuels, which are called sustainable aviation fuels. So these fuels are calculated to be able to help reduce carbon emissions through different degrees. The other option they can do is actually to purchase carbon credits to offset their emissions. Sylvie, you want to talk about what are carbon credits?
Yeah, so carbon credits are basically where, you know, a certain project emits a certain amount of carbon and then they capture it, for example, and then companies like us can buy these credits to offset our own emissions. So basically, we are still emitting, but then we are using the offsets and the credits of another project to offset our emissions.
Yeah. So somebody would have done the removal process. So then we can then buy the rights for those removals to meet our emissions targets. That's another topic also. That is a huge topic that we can go a full episode into. But I guess for most people, your question obviously will be, how does it impact airfares, right? The million-dollar question. There's no secret there. I think everybody would have heard it by now that airfares will have to go up over time. But I guess the question really will be, how much will it go up by? So I don't think there is an answer right now, because CORSIA hasn't really we haven't exceeded the baseline yet. So when will we exceed the baseline? If you're sitting here in Changi and we look down, you see that the airport's really packed. And industry forecasts basically expect that we will exceed 2019 levels by the middle of this year. So I guess you can do the simple math. It's highly likely that CORSIA offsetting will, you know, sort of take place in the next 1 to 2 years. But to what extent, that will really depend on what calculations ICAO will come back with, because it's not just our emissions that will be influential on this. It will be a total sum of everybody's emissions in the participating countries, whether they're in Africa or the United States or Europe. And then this will be shared through a kind of racial proportionality process to all the airlines. And then the other issue is what solutions will be available. Will biofuels be available? Will carbon credits be available? Right now, the market is really fragmented. So we are actually in Singapore because we were here to attend a carbon conference. It's also a new area for us because we are starting to also have to get into carbon markets and understand, how are we going to buy these solutions? How much are they going to cost? Where are they going to come from? And I guess there's no quick answer for that. It's an evolving conversation. But, you know, from the discussions that we've heard today at the carbon conference, everybody kind of expects that over time, everything will scale up and prices could come down
to be more affordable. Yeah. Hopefully, fingers crossed for us.
indeed for everyone. But it does, you know, the conclusion of the conference, of course, you know, is that we can't deliver it ourselves because we're an airline. So the thing now is for the ecosystem to come together, people who are in the carbon markets, regulators, governments, to help scale up. Now, bearing in mind that offsetting and reduction, you know, to deal with this temperature rise, it's not really only an issue for aviation. Obviously, we are talking about this because we happen to be an airline, but it's going to also affect many other sectors of the economy as countries work out their NDC targets and what they're going to do to meet those targets. It could mean that it will be more expensive energy consumption, so your electricity bill will go up, maybe your petrol prices will go up. So I think what it does say is that we all have to be really more mindful about, you know, using energy. If you're not consuming, you know, an electrical appliance, turn it off. Take the bus.
Yeah. I mean, I think the small actions really count. Whether you turn off your lights or, you know, you shower like once a day instead of like three times a day. I think the small things really add up in the end.
Yeah. And it's also basically a culture change, you know, a mindset change that everybody kind of need to be mindful of their impact on the environment, their contribution to carbon footprint as well. Travel is one of it. But I think, you know, on my own part, we know that we're in the industry, but I've changed a lot of parts of my own lifestyle to adapt. Like, I don't use air conditioning. I try to take the train whenever possible. You know, so all these little things are also part of what we do. But for those who are really, you know, you really want to make sure that you leave as little impact, so then that's the next step. And that's basically something that will come more and more. You will find options to offset your own carbon emissions. So whether or not it's going to be included in the pricing, you can also make an independent and voluntary decision to purchase these carbon credits from the market. I think there are websites that you can find these projects. If you can just Google, where do I find carbon offsets, you will find, you know, options for that.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you know, it's not just the airlines. You know, you love traveling, I love traveling. So yeah, as consumers also need to play a part, because, you know, at the end of the day, it is a shared responsibility.
So I guess, this kind of, you know, it's basically what we want to share about Corsia. It's a very basic level. We don't want to overwhelm it. I mean, it's been a very steep learning curve for all of us, you know, to understand the technicalities of Corsia, what are the impacts and implications, longer term, shorter term. But if you are really, you know, kind of very much into this topic, drop some comments, send us some questions, and we'll try to, you know, deep dive into some of these areas and try to explain it in the context of how it will impact you as a traveler, as well.
Yeah, so that's the end of our episode. Thanks again for tuning in to Positive Altitude, and we'll catch you in the next one.
Yep, and so long from Changi.
Bye.